So let's start off with the big news. You have a team name for the baseball stadium and the baseball team. How did that come together?
Well, once we announced we were building a baseball stadium, which is something we needed to do, our current stadium will be 60 years old next year. We started getting contacts from different leagues and different potential owners, and we settled with MKE Sports out of Milwaukee. And they are now the owners of a prospect league team that the league is expanding next year. And they did a name the team contest, had almost 1,000 people submit names. And I think there were 15 or 16 that submitted the winning name, which was the Jackrabbits for Kokomo. So there's a lot of history there. The Apperson Automobile Company was here in Kokomo for about 35, 40 years, went out of business in the late 1920s. And they had a car, a line, the Jackrabbit. And the stadium sits along Apperson Way to the east of the stadium. And the old factory is still in existence. The building's still there, and it's to the west of the stadium. So I think that had a lot to do with their decision making.
So are people getting excited now?
I think so. We just had the announcement in the press conference, but they've come up with a logo, and I think people are starting to see it as the city kind of embraces it and the stadium comes together.
Too early, of course, for ticket sales for next season, but we do see that the stadium's starting to take shape. Good progress so far?
Good progress so far. Looking to open the stadium first part of April. For high school sports, immediately. The Prospect League pretty much plays its season in June and July.
And then speaking of cars, you had a little excitement with a celebrity who was in town recently too, due to the fact that he's such a car enthusiast, Jay Leno.
Jay Leno was here, yeah, this weekend. Came and visited, went through our automotive museum, visited at least one, maybe a couple of our restaurants, places, and just spent a little time in the community. And I think he was in a 69 Grand Prix, maybe a 1970 Grand Prix. I saw some pictures of it. It was nice to have him visit, and there was some nice coverage for it.
For those listening online, we're sitting in the mayor's office that overlooks downtown, and we get a great look of the parking garage. And every month we've come to visit, it's been fun to see it getting higher and higher. But the parking part is almost done, right?
We are almost finished with the parking aspect of it. Still waiting, which I think they'll begin installing the elevators this week. The housing portion of it, 33 apartments up above it, they're under construction, probably will be finished sometime in March, end of February, first part of March, those will be completed, but they're under construction as we speak. So,
will the road around open up when the parking is done, or is that still going to remain constructed?
The road is closed just during the day while they're working. So we just close it off during the day for construction, and then they open it up after hours and on weekends. So, yeah.
And this also kind of sets off a chain reaction, because I think what you were trying to do was move parking into the garage to open up some of the lots downtown.
Right. Yeah. Well, what we're going to do here in the next couple of weeks, we'll open up the garage. Immediately to the east of the parking garage, we are in the process of beginning, really going to break ground in about 3 weeks for the new YMCA. They just reached over $10 million committed to a $16 million YMCA. We're in the process of securing the financing while we complete construction. Once we get the cars that are parking on the surface area there over into the garage, we'll be able to break ground and begin construction of the new YMCA.
Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it?
Very nice. Yeah, we're excited.
What about as far as the parking goes, free parking in the garage?
Yeah, how we've and we'll do a little trial and error if need be. But as when we open it up. Part of the commitment for the housing, we are providing a parking space for each bed for the apartments, 33 apartments, six of those are two bedrooms, so 39 will be reserved for the apartments. We also have about 100 spots on each level. So what we'll do is it will be free parking in all of the unreserved spots. The first floor will be 2-hour free parking, similar to our street parking. and also have handicap spots on the first floor. The second, third, and fourth floor, all of those that are not reserved will be free all day. The idea is to encourage people who are here all day for business to park on the upper levels. Those that are just here for a couple of hours will have access to the first floor.
And then will that affect, or are you hoping it will affect any of the downtown street curbside parking?
Yeah, that's what we hope, that the people that may be parking along the street for the best, the better parts, I guess, of the day, will hopefully they'll know, from the banks or the lawyer offices or some of the restaurants and such, their employees that are here for bigger parts of the day will park in the garage on the upper floors and free up some of those that are just along the street. That's the idea.
Any thoughts, or too early to talk about any type of metering or pay parking on streets here?
You know, we're not there yet. You know, I've read a lot about those and I've followed what other cities have done, and those kind of run in cycles. We had parking meters years ago. We pulled those out about 6 years ago, all the parking meters off the street. Other cities have done that, and then it kind of goes back a few decades later, they go back and have to put new ones in. But we were to the point, ours were older, they were late 1950s, early 1960s types of meters, so we were to the point of either putting a lot of money into to buy new ones or pulling them out, and I think we'll probably go without meters for hopefully a few more years into the future.
I've also seen that you've had some help planting trees around the Heritage Trail, so that progress is moving quickly too.
Yes, we have just here in the last week or so, we started planting over 400 trees along our trail, in some of our parks, a lot in the urbanized areas, trying to really improve that streetscape with new trees and replenishing those. So putting in some decorative islands, things like that. And it's been very noticeable. You can look, and we're just looking at replenishing our parks and making sure that we do our part in our time in office.
I see where the Ivy Tech here in Kokomo named a new president, Michelle Simmons. Sounds like she kind of worked her way up there through that system. Is this a good hire for Kokomo?
Yeah, she's been an administrator at the Kokomo Ivy Tech campus. Now, we're in the process officially able to start the first of the year, merging the two campuses, the regions, with Lafayette and Kokomo. I think that takes in now a 14 or 16 county area. Chancellor Daley, who served as mayor previously some time ago, but also was the recent chancellor, he was retiring. So this was kind of the time I think they decided to make that happen. So I think this will be good. I think it's a good somebody that's already is very familiar and acclimated with the community. I think this will be a good transition.
I think when we talk with a lot of mayors, we talk about job growth and education and how they kind of go hand in hand. Do you think she has a pulse on that, and being the president of Ivy Tech, which I assume is a major force of educating workers here?
It is, yeah. Ivy Tech has done a great job, and especially with a lot of the manufacturing we have here in town. But yes, she's been involved in many boards and different committees. Served in the community for a long time, so I think it's a nice fit. I think I don't see the transition being in any way disruptive at all. I think it will be pretty fluid, or it should be. So,
national news every day, you can't go by without hearing about Ebola.
Yeah.
Curious if anything has come across your desk here in Kokomo, even though we do hear doctors saying you're more likely to be killed by a handgun in Indiana rather than Ebola.
Yeah.
Just curious if anything has come through Kokomo on this.
No, not too much. Only this. Our fire chief has been in contact with, we have two hospitals here, one with the community network and one with the St. Vincent network. And he has been in communications with them on making sure, just kind of sharing contact information, making sure we have standardized policies on this. But it's something you have to watch and you have to pay attention to. But again, with all the other possibilities for poor health or for anything, it's not something that is a great concern at this point. But it is something we keep our eye on.
I did notice that the city's curbside recycling program is set to start next month.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
But Kokomo never had curbside recycling?
They did. They had pockets of it back in the 1990s. Back then, you had to separate your recyclables. It wasn't single stream. That went to the wayside sometime around the year 2000. It's something I actually wanted to do in my first term. Never, with everything else going on, it's just one of those things that didn't always was there on the back burner, but never made it to the front burner. We are now in the process of doing curbside recycling pickup at the home. We'll be delivering totes to about a third of the city. We want to do this in incremental steps. We have a business here in town that has invested in a wet MRF, so the recycled materials will stay here in the community and be sorted there. And that was really what was always the glitch, that the transportation costs were always the biggest hurdle. But now that we can keep them here and make this somewhat of a regional recycling center through private investment, makes this much more feasible for us. So we're putting in about a third of the city will be on curbside recycling by the end of this year. Sometime in the spring, we will, in probably two or three more steps, put the entire city on curbside, and that will all that should happen sometime by July, August of next year.
And you talked about one of the hurdles, but there were a few others too.
Well, yeah, there's always that initial startup cost. We're one of the few communities that do not have a trash fee. I think it's important if we want to encourage people to recycle that we don't have a recycling fee. You want to drive behavior and make it. You don't want a cost associated with doing the responsible thing in recycling. So if ever there comes a time when we have to put a cost, add additional revenue to our trash pickup, we want it associated with the trash. But we're not in a position now where we have to change that. But to make sure that the recycling was kept free, we had to just make sure all the finances were in place. We had to purchase a truck, and obviously totes are very expensive on the initial cost associated with that.
Why do you think residents will recycle if they don't have to pay for trash?
Well, I think they will. Well, right now we have about 9 drop-off centers throughout the community, and they are utilized. We fill them up, and so people are doing it on their own. And we've been doing that for over a decade, where we have recycle centers throughout, where you can take your recycled material, then it's hauled away from those locations. So people are doing it anyway. So I think once you make it more convenient, I think our numbers can only go up. If they're driving on their own to these recycle centers to drop off, the curbside will make it even easier. And so our numbers won't go down, they'll only go up. At some point we may have to consider that to drive behavior, but at this point, this isn't something we're interested in. We've kind of figured out how to do this without having to put a new fee in.
I mean, that can't be cheap, the whole recycling process of this, and doing that for free as well.
Sure.
Where did all those funds come from?
Well, we've worked on to try to be the most efficient city out there, and so we've streamlined how we operate, we've tried to take our limited tax dollars at all times, and we continue to reevaluate where we're at in each department, but take those limited resources and put them into programs that people want, which is things like curbside recycling and things like new trails and investments in our parks and trees. We think we've done a great job, and it's taken a lot of effort by our city council's very supportive of the things we've done, but also our department heads and our employees. But we've done pretty well.
Kind of along those lines, anything new with yard waste and leaf collection? Here we go, huh?
Yeah, annual leaf collection we started just this week. We have crews out going around, and we usually make quite a few passes before the real bad weather gets here. Although, if you remember last year in November, the latter part of November, we had the tornadoes that came through, and it really disrupted the leaf pickup. In fact, we were not able to complete it before the inclement weather came during the winter, and so we had to actually complete that in the spring once the thaw took place. So, this year we're going to do our best to stay ahead of it, and we've already started the process. So, I think we're on top of it.
Last question. I saw this on Twitter back in Bloomington, and I asked Mayor Cruzan, so I'm going to ask you the same thing. Someone was doing a survey, and they wanted 5 words. If you could only have 5 words to describe your city, what would it be? What's your 5 words for Kokomo?
Oh, that's off the cuff. All I would say, compassionate, friendly, caring, and probably hardworking, and caring?
That's four. You said caring.
Caring,
yeah,
okay.
One more.
And hopefully fun. Let's go with that.